Today, I'm going to be going through the three things they don't tell you about the MDS. But in a bumper added value pack, we're going to bring a couple of other things into the talk first. So why should you even bother being here and listening to me ramble on? For what it's worth, I'm an ultramarathon runner. It started when I ran the MDS. I then became terribly addicted, which I'm sure a lot of you will understand. I've run 35 ultras since, including the Ultra Trail de Mont Blanc, the Lavaredo Ultra Trail, the Bellsman, and of course, for any self-respecting UK ultra runner, I spent a lot of time going up and down the Thames path. And also, I'm the co-founder of Natural Sports Nutrition Company, 33 Shape, which was something several of us, Erica, room there, myself, and another partner, we co-founded because in our own triathlon and ultramarathon running, we just weren't finding what we wanted. We thought we could do a better job. We made stuff in our kitchen. We sold it on a homemade website. That was 5 years ago. Today, the company's on sale in 26 countries around the world. We've just launched in America. Some bloke called Bradley Wiggins keeps buying our stuff. The multiple Ironman world champion, Chrissy Wellington, just came to join us and is a shareholder. It's been an interesting journey. And before all of this, before the ultra running even began, I was a journalist. And this is a pretty random load of skills, even if you can call them skills. But what they do give me is an unusual insight into what it's going to take for you guys to really make a huge success of your MDS on a number of levels. So we're going to look at three things today. The first is lessons from elite athletes and performers and how you can use those for your MDS performance. The next thing is the one simple trick you can use for a perfect nutrition strategy in any race, and then we're going to finish up on the three things that nobody tells you about the MDS. And I've just checked with Rory Coleman, who's next door. He's doing a talk today. I was lucky enough to share a tent with Rory when we ran the MDS. I believe he's run more marathon de Sable than anyone. And when I double checked the three things no one tells you, he said, yes, those are the top three things that nobody knows about this race. So I'm glad we got them in there. So to kick off with the lessons from elite athletes, as a journalist, I was lucky enough to spend a lot of time with a lot of high-performing athletes. And so we interviewed them and asked them how they did what they did. And what I got was a world-class toolkit of resources, and it's my favorite picks from that toolkit I want to share with you today so you can put them in your toolkits. And the first guy, Sebastian Chenillot. Appropriately, he's a runner, and he has won or podiumed at more top ultramarathons than you could care to mention. Ultra Trail de Mont Blanc, Hard Rock 100, Trans Gran Canaria, Ultra Trail to Mount Fuji, it goes on and on. And when I first met him for an interview in 09, I was asking him about nutrition. What did he eat? And I was expecting, so that time my nutrition was terrible, I could never get it to work. And I asked him, what do you eat during a race and how do you plan it? And I was expecting this detailed schedule. If I eat X grams of this every 30 minutes, I have this tablet of electrolyte every 45 minutes, and on it would go. And instead, the answer I got was just this. Listen to your body. It's really simple, and it's the opposite of what I was expecting. And that one little comment on its own just illuminates three things about what you need for serious performance. You need to be able to tune back into your body, because our bodies are very sophisticated. They give us tons of messages. It's what's kept us alive and evolving for thousands of years. But because we all now use a lot of technology, we rely a lot on sports science that isn't always correct, it's easy for us to become distracted from those signals and focus on the watch or the heart rate monitor instead. For someone like Sebastian, what he's been able to do is tune back in. When his body speaks to him, he doesn't just hear the message, he can interpret it, he knows what to do. And what I realized looking at this was I didn't know any of this stuff. That's why I would run myself into injury. I would run myself until I was sick. I would run myself until I blew up. All of those things are completely avoidable if you can just get a little bit conscious about what's going on. So the way that you learn to do this is you take some training sessions where you simply get rid of the watch and the technology. Now, when you've done that, all you can hear is your body. Like practice going up and down through the gears. You've got your comfortable running, conversational pace, threshold pace, everything else like that. What does it feel like as you go up and down through these levels? When you're eating, maybe even try running with no food at all, and go until you totally run out of energy. Now clearly don't do this in the middle of nowhere, you might want to do it on a loop or somewhere near public transport, but when you do that, you're going to get so many warning signals from your body before you get to a point where you actually run out of energy. And the more you get to interpret those, when you now bring technology back in, you're now getting a double-sided picture. You're getting what the technology is telling you and how you feel. So, back to our performers. We're coming to Chris Hoy, a man who collected gold medals the way most people collect nectar points. Working with him for a couple of stories for Men's Fitness, one of the things that came through stronger than ever, Chris Hoy is the definition of mental toughness, dedication, and focus. And the thing I wanted to know is, unlike us, we get to go running anywhere we like. Whereas he had to go into the same velodrome, in the same spot. There's nowhere to hide in there. He's got people monitoring everything he does. Everything is against the watch. And that place, he would have to take himself into a huge level of pain, and then he'd have to go and repeat it day after day after day. How did he then manage to go in there knowing that was coming? And how did he deal with it? So when I asked him, he said, everyone hates that moment when your legs are burning and you want to throw up and you're lying on your side thinking, why on earth am I doing this? Because you notice he thinks that's normal. He says everyone hates that moment because it happens to us all the time, right? But you know, he's a bit unusual, you don't have to go that far. But he says, when you come out, you realize that was worth it. I could not have worked any harder. And so when I do get to race day, I know every effort of every session has been 100%. After that, what happens, happens. Digging a little deeper on this, why was he able to keep doing this? How did he keep pushing through every day? He said, what drove me on was the feeling of progress, knowing that every day I was chipping away and it would all be worth it because that's what wins medals. Hard work, day after day, month after month, year after year. And that's where you guys are going for your medals in the Sahara. You just keep chipping away. Some days will feel bad, some days will feel great. But remember, Chris Hoy, turn up, do the work, just keep getting through it. You're getting a step closer every day on that journey. We're gonna move from the world of sport, quickly over into the world of special forces. This guy is a man called David Blakely. He's a former Pathfinder soldier. And I was working with him for some stuff in the Times. And really where he comes from is just this most incredible toolkit of tools for mental toughness. Keeping going when you don't want to. How do you get your mind to motivate you? How do you stay motivated? And with a goal as big as the MBS, being able to do this is key to your success in getting through the event. Now what he says is, when you look at Pathfinder selection, they do the same selection that the SAS do. It's as hard as it gets in the British military. And what he says is, people often think that these special forces units are full of superhumans. But he said it's not. What it is ordinary people doing extraordinary things. These levels of performance are available to anybody who is willing and has a goal strong enough to get them through. So he said all the way through selection, people are removed. And most of the time, they pull themselves out. The key thing separating those who pass from those who don't is that those who pass simply don't give in. Because he says a lot of the giving in, it's a mental thing. Your mind will go a long time before the body does. If you allow your mind to take over and doubt to grow, you're likely to throw in your hand. So during selection, every few hundred meters if need be, I would repeat, I will not give in. If the course wanted to fail me, fine, but I would never fail myself. And that's what got him through it, piece by piece. Now from here, he then came up with what I think are the four strongest points for achievement in endurance sport, achievement at the MBS, and really these filter into life in general as well. The first one is visualization. You have to see your goal, feel your goal, know what it looks like, because if you don't have a destination, you can't get there. So think about what it is that drives you for the MBS. Is it the thought of crossing the finish line? Is it changing your life to become fitter than you've ever been? Is it about coming home to your family with a medal, whatever it is, find that driver, visualize it, feel it, and you know that's where you're going. Don't get distracted on the way. You have to ignore the naysayers. So even well-meaning people will say, you can't do this, or what do you know about being in the Sahara? You know, you live in the UK. How are you going to handle the desert? It'll be too much. You shouldn't do it. Never let anyone else's limits become your own limits. So people are saying that, you know, probably family, friends, whatever, they mean well. What they mean is, it's a limit for them. But if you let those limits become yours, that's your fault. Politely, just ignore. Your limits are your own, nobody else's. Bracketing. If the whole picture is too big, break it down into manageable pieces. So whether that's, what's the expression? How do you eat an elephant? With a small spoon or something, piece by piece. 160 miles across the desert, that's a lot. But if you break that down at the times when it's hard, well, I've just got to get to the end of this stage. At times, maybe I've just got to get as far as that next rock. Whatever it is, it's a manageable chunk. And you combine that with the final technique, use achievement. The fact that you just got, you know, you thought you couldn't take another step, and you did, that proves you can take the next step again. You finished day one, well, that proves you can finish day two. If you finish day one and two, well, that's three and four pretty much looked after, and after that, you're basically at the finish, right? So use that. Look, don't always get so focused on forward. Remember what you've achieved before, and use that to fuel yourself going forward. And if it all goes pear-shaped, as he put, a lot of things in life are tough, but very few will actually kill you. So if it's really bad, you are at least still alive. Right, quickly, we're going to go through one simple tip for perfect nutrition every time. And running a sports nutrition company for endurance athletes, the biggest question we get asked is, how often should I be eating during long runs or long training sessions? And what people are trying to unlock with this question is the one perfect schedule that is going to allow them to always be perfectly fueled, never have too much, never have too little, never feel sick, and for everything to work. But if we think about it logically, it can't exist. And I can see a couple of heads shaking already. You know, it can't. 7 billion people in the world are all different. Races happen at different times of day, different times of the year, in different countries around the world, in hot conditions, in cold conditions. They're different lengths. It can't possibly be a uniform, one-size-fits-all strategy. But that then gets us into a complicated area, because, well, how the heck do you work out a custom strategy for every single person? And there is one trick you can use to unlock this. And it's something that at 33 Shake we call checking in. And so let's say you know that during a long run, you're going to eat every 45 minutes. That would be, you know, your rough cadence. And if you've never, if you don't have a figure, then you're going to want to start with a figure between 45 and 60 minutes. So let's say you get to that 45-minute window, and instead of saying, just eating, you now ask yourself a question, take a beat, check in, am I hungry? If you're hungry, yes, you eat something. If you are not hungry, okay, you're going to wait. But you're not going to wait another 45 minutes. That might be too long by then, and you might be too far gone that it will take you too long to recover if you've lost too much fuel. You're going to check in every 15 minutes. Until you reach a point where you're hungry. That way you're never going to get behind, but you're not going to go in front either. Then once you've done that, you go back to your 45-minute schedule. And gradually, as you practice this in training, you'll get used to expanding and contracting those windows between when you're checking in with yourself, am I hungry, and when you're eating. And you really don't have to worry. Like, if you don't eat for a long period of time, as long as you're keeping conscious with yourself every 15, 20 minutes and just asking a question, you're never going to have a problem. Similarly, if you'll find yourself, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, and you're constantly eating, that's not a problem either, because it's in response to your hunger. So once you've got this in place, I've done races where I've done 3 or 4 hours eating nothing, and in the same race, a few hours later, I'll be eating every 15 minutes. There's really no problem. So just getting mindful and conscious about that is what allows you to make that strategy work for you every single time. Now, of course, I think we've seen some of you down at 33 Shake Booth downstairs today. If you were looking for the greatest possible energy gel, you couldn't get anything better than this. They are most incredible gels in the world, and we'll happily tell you all about them downstairs later. There are a number of things that are very commonly known about the MDS. These are the three things that are much less commonly known. And the first one is that everybody will go absolutely mad on arrival in Morocco. You will have spent months, days, weeks, years of your life planning this race, weighing kit, testing drinks like in the oven so you know what they're going to be like at 40 degrees, freeze packing stuff, trying every last pair of socks, reading every blog you can find. You're going to know by the time you get there through your training and preparation what your plan is. You will have a thoroughly researched, tested and ready race plan. It's yours. You're now going to meet 1,100 other people, everyone in a completely unfamiliar environment, give or take, and every one of those 1,100 people will also have a thoroughly researched, tested and ready race plan. And the chances are, it's going to be different to yours. Your challenge is now to stick with your plan until the race starts. Because some people are going to tell you, you've got to tape your feet. And someone else at the same conversation will say, if you tape your feet, you are guaranteed to get blisters. Meanwhile, someone else will say, trainers, only half a size larger, no more. Someone else will say, no, it's got to be two sizes bigger. Someone might say, you've got to use Body Glide or anti-chafe cream. Other people say, you get sand in it, turns into a grinding paste, forget it, don't go near it. Life is going to get very confusing very quickly in that period between when you get on the plane and when you start the race. And all it is, everyone's nervous, everyone's got their plan. Stick to yours, avoid going mad. It's good, you've put a lot of work into it. The fact that you're here now, starting this work and building on this work, you're going to be ready. As a cautionary tale, the year that I ran the race, the mounting pressure cooker of insanity among otherwise well-adjusted and quite normal people led to one broken ankle and one partially removed nipple before the race had even begun. The ankle came from a man who was convinced by somebody that he really should do a warm-up run the day before the race and tripped over a curb outside the hotel. The nipple was a guy, he was sharing hotel rooms, sharing a room with a guy he hadn't met before, and he noticed this guy had shaved his chest. He said, why did you do that? And the guy said, I stopped my pack chafing. That's a good idea. And this man went off to shave his chest for the first time in his life and removed half a nipple in the process. I think his pack probably chafed a bit more after that happened. So yes, avoid that. Number two, the running isn't the most important bit. Because by the time you get to the Sahara, you will have done all of the running work. You can't be fitter. The running has to happen every day. You're as ready as you will ever be for that. What matters more on top of this is everything you do when you are not running. So from the moment you finish the stage, get back into camp, until the moment you start the next morning. So, looking at the end of the day, the temptation, come in, lie down, go to sleep. If you do that, you won't make it past day three. What you need to do is come in and get to work. Look after your feet first. Then get your kit ready. Make some food. Clean up everything from the food. Clean up yourself. Get your kit ready for the next day. Then pass out. That simple little attention to detail on the admin side is what's going to get you through, because the benefit of a night's sleep is huge. But if you just fall asleep, you wake up all cracky in the morning, and then you haven't eaten properly, and then your shoes are still on, it's just not going to work. The compound damage of those little things going wrong day by day is where races are made or lost. And most people are not timed out of the MDS, they're simply unable to start the following morning. So you can avoid that with just some simple admin when you come in. And the last one, it's not all sand and dunes. It is very flat and very rocky in places. This is not as photogenic as the dunes. It doesn't look as exciting. On these flat, rocky stretches, you can see it's a lot of very fine stones. It will look in the distance like there is always a channel you could just run in that has no stones in it at all. It's a mirage, doesn't exist. Just run through it. but do be careful of the bigger ones, because I can tell you from painful personal experience that kicking a rock on day four with no toenails on your big toe, it's very, very painful. And your feet won't be lifting as much as the race goes on. So just watch out for the big rocks on that. Forget the rest. Now that brings us to the end of all the things I wanted to cover today. The only other thing is, in terms of the nutrition, everything we make at 33 Shape was made specifically for ultra endurance. So the gel that we make here, it's whole food based. You then add water to it. It creates the gel. It's the lightest gel you could ever use because of that. It's also not going to give you any stomach trouble. It's got a gentle flavor and it gives you stable energy, not a flash and a crash. If you don't like energy gels, this is the energy gel for you. And on top of that, because you add the water to it, the water's the only thing they're going to give you in the Sahara. You don't need to carry that extra weight. You just top them up in the morning and then they're ready whenever you need it. The other thing we make is a pre and post workout shake, which is 33 individual superfoods, all tailored to serious performance. And the deal with this is about keeping you going from day to day, reducing the attrition, the inflammation, the soreness that you're going to get as you go through an event like the MDS. But on top of that, what do you have to fight that with? It's not like, you know, you're using freeze-dried food, you're on a minimum nutrient intake. This completely swings the balance back in your favor. And the one added bonus is that most years, there'll be some kind of bug that goes around the camp. You've got a lot of runners who are very tired, in very close quarters, there's no showers going around, and if the bug gets hold, it goes around pretty quickly. Your immune system is going to be compromised by the amount of exercise you're doing, and the fact that you're really, you know, you're not even seeing as much as a fresh bit of fruit or vegetables. The ingredients in here, whole food, natural, one of their biggest things is also to bolster that immune system. And that's why people like Bradley Wiggins and the Team Sky have been using them for exactly that reason. It's not just how you keep going on day one, it's how you keep going the days after that. So that is everything from me. We've got a little bit of time in hand. If anyone would like any questions, I'm happy to take absolutely anything you'd like to ask. But I'm all rushed at once.
What year did you
do? I ran it in 09. It was the first ultra marathon I'd. Well, first of all, I hadn't even run a marathon at that point. I couldn't run when I signed up.
What percentage of you're saying that it's not all sand? What's sort of a rough breakdown?
Probably about between 60-40 and 70-30. So I'd say 50-60% dunes and sand, and then between 40-50% of the flatter, rockier sort of riverbed stuff. It does depend on the route. They do change the route.
I'm quite liking the flat there.
You won't like it every day, I promise you. It definitely has its moments, though. It's just kicking the rocks you need to look out for. Thank you very much for coming. And I'm really impressed.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.